Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now, John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Your works remembered as we all rejoice this day. Guide us through the stormy tempest. Help us not to lose our way.
Loving God, give us your grace that through weak human words we may hear your true and living word, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Someone remember a test? Someone remember the theme of last Sunday? Scripture and sermon wise? Remember? One word. It's a test, a quiz. You weren't here.
No,
it doesn't count. Anyone remember what it was? What was it? Awake. Remember that? Be awake. Be awakened people. Don't sleep. I think there are a couple of sleepy people here.
That's why I wasn't here.
So the first Sunday was this call to be awakened. The spiritual life is often called awakening, to be awakened. And that's a theme throughout the 3 years of our reading list. That is typically the first Sunday of Advent is that theme. Be awake. Don't fall asleep. Remain awake. Keep awake. Today, we're going to have a different, but in the same theme. We're talking today, the theme of the second Sunday of Advent is prophets. men and women who invite us to remain awake. The prophets were messengers, angels of God, that invited us to remain awake, to keep awake. And there are two types of prophets. Some prophets are gentle and soothing and calm, like Isaiah on the first reading. He brings hope for an afflicted people, a people who were living at the time under King Ahaz, a king who was corrupt, a king that had allied himself with an external power, the empire of Assyria, and he had betrayed his people. And suddenly the people of Israel lost their independence. They became a vassal. How do you say that word?
Vassal.
Thank you. Vassal state. And so the people were really disappointed and afflicted and downtrodden. Their pride, their independence was given away by this king, Ahaz. And Isaiah, in that circumstance, he is a prophet that is soothing, a prophet that brings hope for those who were dispirited. He is the one who says, you know, people, sometimes we feel like a stump, a tree that has been cut down. And you just look at it and say, there's no hope. I don't know if any of you feel like that, but sometimes I feel it. Sometimes I say, is there any hope? There's nothing here. This is just like a dead stump. And Isaiah said, even this dead stump has hope. And a shoot will come forth, and a tree will spring forth from this dead stump. So Isaiah is a prophet that brings hope and comfort and soothing. He is the one who also says, even the people that seem unreconcilable, that there is no hope for them to get along, he says, even then, those will live in peace and harmony. He has that beautiful metaphor, the wolf shall live with the lamb. And it's this promise of even the two that don't get along will finally get along. Now, other prophets are not gentle and soothing. Do you know anyone like that? Who is that? John the Baptist. John the Baptist was on the other side. John the Baptist is probably someone we would not invite for a dinner party. John the Baptist was this probably disheveled guy, a bit weird, dressed in clothing of camel's hair, a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Talk about dietary restrictions. John the Baptist was this strange person. And not only his dress and his diet were strange, but his tongue was harsh. You brood of vipers, who warn you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. The axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree therefore that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. He was not an easy guy. I probably would not get along too well with him. Now, what was he talking to whom? To whom was he saying these things? The leaders of the church, of the synagogue, but he would have said today. So John the Baptist, his strong words were not for the people who were downtrodden, suffering. These strong words were the leaders, and especially religious leaders. So probably if John the Baptist would come here, he would probably address it first to me and Hugh. So he was that type of person. He wanted to shake things up. He hated corruption. He knew that something new was coming, and he wanted the powers to be to know that they were not living up to their calling. To keep awake, we sometimes need gentleness and compassion, particularly when we feel a little bit down. But the honest, sometimes, at least me, sometimes I need a little bit more of my face, right? Something that snaps me to attention. On Thursday, we were talking about the Buddhist tradition in Zen. One of the Zen schools, the monks, they sit in meditation, and some of them start falling asleep, and there's this other monk that comes with a stick and slaps them, and it's a way of waking them up. So some prophets are like that, slapping. Sometimes, at least me, I need a little bit of a, hey, wake up, pay attention. So each of us have different needs and different moments in our lives. Prophets are messengers from God who unmask and challenge the prevailing powers and awaken in the people a vision and resistance. And before you think this is only a man's job, prophets, there were women prophets. Can you say any women prophets that you know? See? How bad the church is taught. Huh? Deborah, very good. You're a Baptist there. Put to shame all of us here. Deborah, Moses' sister, Miriam, right? And there was another prophet called Huldah, huh? Sarah.
Sarah,
maybe, yeah, we can consider her, yeah. She's in a sense, yeah, a prophet. In the New Testament, there was Anna, the one who received baby Jesus. She's called a prophet. And also there were the four daughters of Philip in the book of Acts. And they were very famous. They were called prophets. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, probably she is the greatest prophet. Next Sunday we'll be hearing the Canticle of Mary, which is a canticle. The Magnificat is a prophetic canticle, beautiful canticle. We'll be meditating on it next week. So men and women prophets. Today we were going to have Saint Nick. The tradition is to have the visit of Saint Nick. Today, this year, we want to move it up, and Antoinette was going to come and tell a story about Saint Nicholas, but she's not feeling too well. Please keep her in your prayers. But I would just like to mention that Saint Nicholas of Bari, Saint Nick, was also a prophet. We know of Saint Nick the good things, right? St. Nicholas was a very gentle and compassionate and loving man. You remember the story of these three daughters who did not have money for their dowry. And as we sung just in our sequence hymn, he gave them money so that they could be married. Otherwise, their lot would have been probably having to sell their bodies. We have the story of three young men who are saved by St. Nicholas, and sailors who are saved from him in a storm out in sea. The people of Myra were oppressed by heavy taxes from the emperor Constantine. And Nicholas, he went to the emperor and said, you need to cut these taxes. The people of Myra, my town, are dying because of your abuses. So Nicholas was a man of deep compassion and gentleness. But Nicholas, like many, all of us, at least me, was a complex human being, not a one-dimensional guy. He had his John the Baptist side too. Nicholas has said, and I'm going to say, just to let you know that things sometimes are more complicated than we think. Nicholas has participated in the Council of Nicaea, where we get the creed. He said, in one of the lists, he's there. And there's this story, this legend. Nicholas entered into a very heated debate with his theological opponent, Arius. Outraged, Nicholas got up, crossed the room where the sin of the assembly of bishops were meeting, and slapped Arius on the face. All the bishops were outraged, shocked. It was unbelievable that a bishop would lose control and be so hot-headed in such a solemn assembly. The bishops stripped Nicholas of his bishop's garments, chained him, and threw him into jail. Let's just know that Nicholas had two ways. Returning to John the Baptist, it is true. Sometimes we need a little bit of a slap in the face, at least me. When I was confirmed in the Catholic tradition, the bishop would slap you in the face, right? Yeah, well, not a hard slap, but it was a little gentle tap. But the idea is, wake up. Wake up. Take seriously your calling. to change, to transform your life. And I think this is the core message of what John the Baptist wanted to share. John the Baptist, with all his hot-headedness, and Nicholas and other prophets that we know, their main desire was their urgency to change. They were hot-headed because they truly wanted the world to be at a better place. And they were upset about things that were going wrong. And that is why John the Baptist's message is basically the message of transformation. Matthew, in the gospel today, says the core message of John the Baptist was metanoite, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Traditionally, we use our Bible says repent. Now, repent is a word that contemporary it doesn't have the same ring. It has more negative connotations like regret or repudiation. There's a new Bible that is accepted by the Episcopal Church to be used in church called the Common English Bible. And it's interesting, that translation translates the word metanoite as change your hearts in life. That is the literal meaning of metanoite. Change your mind. Change your way of thinking. Change your intention. Change your heart. So on this second Sunday of Advent, as we continue our journey towards welcoming the Christ, as we heed the call of the prophets like Isaiah, John the Baptist, Mary, Nicholas, to awaken and be transformed in mind and hearts, I invite you to also consider that prophets not only are old people from the scriptures, we may encounter prophets in our own lives. This week I invite you, when you're in the grocery store, walking the streets, there might be someone who approaches you, sometimes with gentleness, and other situations they might be a little bit unnerving. But wonder, could they be prophets? Messengers sent for you to be awakened, to continue your work of inner transformation, transformation that will change our world? Let us pray. Laboring God, with axe and winnowing fork, you clear a holy space in our hearts where hurt and destruction have no place, and a little child holds sway. Clear our lives of hatred and despair. Sow seeds of joy and peace, that shoots of hope may spring forth, and we may live in harmony with one another. Amen.